crossfade. The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show episode 183. That whistle is TJ. He's excited because he's got his mate in the building, Reese Mitchell.
Yeah. Hello. Hey, guys. No, you're meant to say, you said
hey,
hi.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, no, I was also whistling, Josh, because it's two more shows till we don't have to do this over Skype anymore. So
wow. This
is this show, Reese, is pretty much a last-minute thing because we were meant to do this in LA because you're living now in LA.
Yeah, yeah. City of Angels, baby.
I'm pretty upset that we had to do it from Melbourne, to be honest.
Oh, it's nice here too. City of Angels as well in its own way. No, it's good. It's good to be here. It's good to be home, breathe some fresh air. You know, I'm sick of the pollutants.
Is it polluted over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, oh my gosh. It's like a blanket of smog over the city that you can see when you go on a hike.
No, that's just Elon Musk's plume of smoke from his joints.
So for Reese get criticized all the time for not introing people that we've got on the show.
Okay.
And so I'm going to do that hashtag reset.
Wow.
It's so natural. Tommy and Reese, best mates since they were 5 years old. Reese is now, was it five? Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They just did this tappy thing with the microphone.
That was cute. We cheersed with the microphones. That's what you do in show business.
Yes. Great prep. Because I was in prep. You were in year one. Mm-hmm. And so we were five.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
And then because it was a composite year. Remember that?
Yeah.
Where the grade ones were a part of the prep.
Right.
Class. And so
I liked those years when they were like joint. I feel like I remembered having that heaps in school, like threes and fours, fives and sixes. For me, with being in a public school, it was just because it was like we were super povo and basically the whole school was in one class. But
we didn't go to the fanciest school, did we?
Well, not until we were a little bit older. And then we went to one of the fanciest schools.
I love it.
And it did fuck all for us.
Yeah, I know. Look at us now. Jesus Christ.
And so, Reese, you've recently gone to LA. What's the... Yeah. I've always dreamt of living overseas and just holidaying for the last 3 months. I'm missing Melbourne. What is the vibe? You've been there now for what, like eight or so months full-time?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's a pretty easy transition, I find, moving to certain parts of LA. I also had a network there already established, so it was easy enough for me to sort of move in, and I have like management there. So I found it like not too difficult to make the transition. I mean, I was living in a cupboard for the first 2 months, like where my feet would touch the wall sort of thing when I slept. Like it was not ideal, but
he was an illegal alien at that point.
No, I have my papers. This is going public. I have my papers. I'm there legally, Mr. Trump. I am there legally. Yeah,
Now we don't know what could happen.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Yeah, but I pay my taxes. But so I was living in a cupboard, and then I found my own room. So it's a bit of a rags to riches story. I like it a lot. It's really fun. The people are super encouraging there.
But the thing about you, Reese, you're a homebody, I think.
Yeah.
Because you grew up with four brothers and sisters.
Two brothers, two sisters.
Two brothers, two sisters, and then you're the eldest of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, your household as a kid growing up was like, it could have almost had its own TV show. There was people always dropping in for dinners, and it was just always so homely and everyone stayed at home. And so the transition moving to a new country, that's like, have you traveled much?
Bits and pieces, but not like long term.
Nah.
I think the longest I did was like a month here, a month there.
Yeah.
Stuff like, when I did the show in Miami, I was gone for 2 months.
Oh, that's right. But that's work. Like this, Josh and I have spoken about like that actually uprooting your life and moving somewhere
relocating,
else.
Relocating, yeah.
And relocating.
It feels like it's a different beast versus going to, Greece for a few weeks and saying, oh, I could live here. You know, it's like a slightly different vibe.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's definitely, it was confronting for sure. I was just lucky to have some friends already there. But you know, there were definitely moments where I missed the comfort of Melbourne. Melbourne is a very comfortable place to live. It's a very easy lifestyle, I find. And there's a lot of cool stuff happening here. So it was difficult. And there's a few moments where I was like, what the fuck? Am I allowed to swear on this?
Yes.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
The fuck am I doing here? I'm living in a cupboard. You know, yeah. I'm like, what am I really chasing this like Hollywood thing? Like trying to, you know, get an acting job. Like, I'm like, am I deluded?
Yeah.
Like this is kind of nuts. But I feel like there's a wonderful community there that I've fallen into. And I feel like a lot of what people warn you about LA isn't necessarily true.
Which bits aren't
true? Like, you know, everyone's fake. Everyone's like, just phony or fake.
They're
or
so fake, really you don't even friends. Fucking know it, Reese.
Maybe they're just amazing. They've like really, really manipulated me on like some amazingly deep level. Like, I haven't found that.
It's like the comparison of Bondi to St. Kilda.
Yeah.
In Bondi, you've got people who care about their bodies a lot more. Well, it seems as if they do. Like the health scene, you know, healthy eating is greater because I think it is contributed to the climate there, which is LA is good weather every single day. What did you say to me on the phone the other day? You said
it's the same day every day.
Well, you said I've been partying too much.
Yeah.
And you said because I wake up every day and it's just a good day to party.
Yeah, exactly. Every day is like perfect. You're like, oh my God, it's perfect again. Yeah. But that's why like it goes so quickly there. It felt like I was there for one season because they don't really have seasons.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like every day is kind of the exact same day. It's like a simulation.
Did you feel the pressure to get a better rig? I feel like whenever I go to LA, all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I will have acai bowls or actually no, fuck acai bowls. I need to be just having protein and start to lift. Do you get
Definitely, especially when you do acting. But I guess my whole goal is sort of how do I maintain a six pack while drinking beers? Yeah. That's kind of been my my mission. But I like staying healthy anyway. You know, I there's a lot of great gyms there because I like my boxing. So, you know, there's a lot of famous boxing clubs that you can go down to and work out at, like Wild Card and stuff. It's like $5 entry. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, the price thing over there.
Yeah.
Has it been cheap to live?
Well, the Australian dollar is like 70 cents to the US
dollar.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
So that's been pretty hard.
Have you been earning money? Because like for everyone, I haven't really, we've spoken on the phone a couple of times, text, but we haven't actually caught up. I don't know how shit's going for you.
Yeah, it's all right.
Turns out Reese is a millionaire now.
Yeah, he's made it. It's fantastic.
He's
landed. It's lonely at the top, guys. Yeah, I'll invoice you, Josh. It's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Let me tell you to have me on this show.
1% added again.
I had like in the time I was there, I landed one movie role, which was really exciting and a dream come true for me, actually.
Yeah.
Like when I got the role, I literally started shaking. I was like, this can't be right.
And
I thought that was a glitch in the simulation.
Was this when you were sending me Instagram stories from the bathtub? Was that that role?
That was the jacuzzi on my hotel balcony, yes.
Yeah, living the dream.
Well, it was in Utah. I don't know if it's the dream, but it's definitely a dream. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was very, very fortunate and I got a script that I really responded to and was lucky enough to be involved. It's a film called The Happy Worker and it should come out sometime next year. Yeah.
Do you feel the tendency, I've heard that there's heaps of Australians in LA and they tend to sort of hang out at the same areas. Have you entered into that world? Have you pushed back on that? What's your vibe on it?
That's interesting. That's funny you bring that up. I've definitely noticed that too. And I do hang out with Australians, but I think I hang out. The community of Australians in America seem to be really in each other's corner, which is quite nice actually. It's like even the people in like film and TV there seem to be quite supportive of one another. And so I go to things like the Australians in Film screenings and there's a group called Australians in LA and everyone is like really looking out for each other. It's kind of, it's quite beautiful. But most of them live in West Hollywood, I found.
The only difference in those events is that there's actually just limits of how many beers you're allowed to drink for free because the Australians just fucking go hard.
Yeah. It's pretty rad though. Like you go to these events and you're like seeing all these incredible actors just like, you know, hooning around and drinking beers.
Who's the most famous?
Like there's some pretty big ones. I saw like, God, I feel like such a nerd doing this, but who cares? It's cool to be a fan.
You're surrounded by us, the bigger fucking nerds, so you're safe.
Okay. I went to a screening and like Rose Byrne, Joel Edgerton, all that crew were there. And I was like, kind of like, wow, it's so cool that they just come and support these like you know, emerging filmmakers, Australian filmmakers. I just thought it was really, really cool.
Well, I think, Josh, it's like for us, you know, doing the podcast, once you sort of tap into the industry or the sort of, you know, the space, there's not a great deal of people that are kind of noisy about it. And so it's pretty easy to sort of access these other people who are, you know, doing it consistently, and they also appreciate other people that are doing it as well. So it's, I can imagine it's a similar thing. Yeah, where the Joel Edgerton, right. Who are you?
Like at the end of the day, people need, I don't know anyone, you know.
Yeah. So this is a thing, just quickly, he doesn't watch films.
Oh, okay.
Or TV series, is that fair, Josh?
Well, no, I just, yeah, I don't have ADD or anything, but I don't, I tend to only watch nonfiction just because, I don't completely know why, but it's definitely an area. I went through a stage of, when I was about 16, collecting a new DVD from JB Hi-Fi in the bargain bin every single day to watch it, but I ended up with about 150 DVDs that are currently in storage that we weren't even able to sell just before our recent trip, and I haven't watched them. I ended up with My Sister's Keeper on fucking Blu-ray, one of the saddest films I'd ever seen. It was a fucking disaster. So anyway, yeah, I don't know much about TV. I don't know anything about movie stars. I was actually trying to catch up on what you'd worked on recently. My parents are massive fans of Upper Middle Class Bogan. And
Upper Middle Bogan.
Yeah, there we go.
He doesn't watch it.
No. I'll tell you, Rhys. I've accused Josh's family of being somewhat similar to the family on that show.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. It's great.
There are a few connections there. But I ended up going down a rabbit hole of typing in Rhys Mitchell on YouTube and watching all this stuff. And I think I landed on the wrong Rhys Mitchell at one point, because there was like all these scenes of these two dudes kissing.
But yeah, that's my show reel. Yeah.
But you weren't in any of them. So I think that I definitely landed,
you
landed
want, did
on
you
the
play,
right
I think
thing.
There was a character on an Australian TV show with my exact name.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a real person, it was the character.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's annoying. I reckon a casting director or a producer annoying. Didn't cast me, saw that and was like, terrible actor, good name though. We'll use that.
What was growing up like with Tommy like? What was, like, I know Tommy from the last couple of years, being a dad, being this responsible guy, but I have a feeling from the conversations that we've had that he was a bit of a loose unit, and I think at times he maybe understates what that was like. Can you give me sort of the run through of what childhood was like?
Just quickly while Rhys does that, I'm getting beers.
Oh, Jesus, he needs a drink for me to open up about our history together. Okay, here's an example. Once we're on the train, that'd be fine. Thank you, mate. Once we're on the train, and I was sitting with Tommy, and there was these two girls. We were like 15 or something, 14. These two girls go, "Oh my God, is that Tommy Jacket?" So that kind of like, he had this infamy, thank you, on the Sandy line for being, the bad boy of
just on
of
the Sandy line.
Sandringham so line, pretty much.
Maybe there's a whole
Southside. Cheers.
Audience. There's a whole audience there that we could be tapping into, TJ. Maybe we do a live broadcast from the Sandringham line.
Yeah, that's good. Sit at Garden Vale Station, set up your podcast situation. I don't know what you call it.
It's not quite a setup. I like that you didn't give us the...
Yeah, it's a situation. And then just interview people and be like, oh, tell us stories of Tommy Jacket. And I'm sure they'll all have some wild ones. I don't really I don't know how much to go into, you know, because this is going live.
For my 18th birthday, Josh, Rhys, and I think it was Josh, not you, Josh, another Josh.
We know more than one.
Yes.
We know a lot of Josh. Disgusting. I don't like that.
Wild, huh?
It's sort of... And he's the one with the YouTube videos of the kissing. It's like,
yeah, it's the other Rhys and the other Josh smooching.
Yeah, exactly.
So Josh and Rhys made me this T-shirt. They had it screen printed on, and it was two people pointing in silhouette, and it said, "Oh my God, it's Tommy Jacket." Yeah, I've still got that T-shirt.
I mean, now it's probably more relevant. You're not just famous on the Sandy line, you know. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of wild stories. We were like, I guess you were a bit of a naughty boy.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to put it, right?
Well, we kind of have explored on the podcast about how we came from a very lovely area in Melbourne.
Mm.
And we went to a great school, but a lot of people died around us. People, you know, were doing bad shit. And it kind of, it's this weird thing. It's like people from money, not that we all were, but it doesn't mean that everyone's going to be good or abide by the rules. If anything, from our experience, more people broke them than, you know, stuck to them. So it was a weird upbringing.
It was, and there was a lot of people that were, obviously carrying a lot of demons around, even though they seemingly have an ideal life.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean they're happy.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I don't know. We've met our fair share of different characters for sure.
And Reese, what do you think, like, how has your perception of home changed? Do you see this transition of going to LA as a temporary thing and then you'll be going back home to Melbourne? Or do you actually think that you'll get to a point where home will change?
I mean, it's really interesting because I guess it's still like early days for me, like in this transition. I think a lot of it is governed by work opportunities. I mean, I came back here for a job. So I'll kind of go where the work is. And I must say, it's so lovely to be home and be home without the pressure of building my entire career here. Because I, you know, that is quite difficult, I think, to work exclusively in Australia as an actor. So I love the idea of being able to settle here at some point. But right now I feel like LA is opening up for me. And yeah, it is still early, so I got to explore it, give it a good go and go out and audition and hopefully get some more work out there and then see where I can end up. I'd like to
can
be based
you be
here
entrepreneurial?
Eventually.
Can you be entrepreneurial as an actor when it comes to auditioning? Because in some regards it feels like you rock up, you do the reading or whatever, and then is it called a reading or is that what mediums do?
Yeah, that's fine. You can say that.
Or making out with a producer to get the role.
Exactly.
Oh, Jesus.
Whatever it
takes. They're not asking me to do that. It's not like my show reel.
Is it something that you feel like you can be entrepreneurial with, or is it just like hoping that you get picked?
I think you could be. I mean, I don't know that I'm capable of really doing that. I just try and do a good audition and be prepared.
Mm.
And there are so many factors, you know. There are so many things that will govern whether you get a job or not. And like talent is a bonus, I find. Yeah. If you're talented, it's
a 100%. Well, Reese has been chipping away since as long as I can remember. You were doing drama classes outside of school when we were, you know, grade 3 and 4 and... And so you've been actually chipping away at your craft. One thing, you know, that you don't have like some huge social media following, which is probably one of the ways to be entrepreneurial.
Absolutely.
About it.
I have a private Instagram.
Yeah,
so
it's funny. It's a great account. Yeah. Are you going to open it up? Is it open?
I often oscillate. I'm like, I'll go public and I'll be up.
He's got a strategy, Reece. He's got a strategy.
Yeah, I'm Drip Coffee. You guys can request me.
How did you end up with Drip Coffee?
I went in 2013 when I first went to New York. It was the second time I went to New York. I actually made a short film and I was playing at a festival in Palm Springs, just a detail. And I was in New York and my friend was like, well, we want to see your like experiences of this festival and stuff. You should set up an Instagram. And I was like, why? And they're like, so we can like look at photos. And then I was like, okay, set one up. What should I call it? And like, I don't know, something about New York. Mm. And I was in a diner and someone was pouring drip coffee. And I was like, I'll be Drip Coffee. Because that's like,
I love
it's America,
that
it's diner, you know? Yeah, it's good. And like people have inboxed me about it, you know? People want it. I'm sitting on it.
Just a side detail, Josh, I don't know if you've looked at our email. We just got an email from somebody who said, hi, would you be interested in purchasing dailytalkshow.com so you can redirect it to your website.
No, we've got the dailytalkshow.com, which I'm a massive geek when it comes to domain names, Instagram accounts. So the fact that you've got Drip Coffee already, you're about, like, doesn't matter what movies or TV shows you've been in my eyes, you're already a star with that.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Instagram. But we have there's a theme throughout our show where we tend to I've accumulated over time a lot of Instagram usernames and
and you're flogging them
and things like that. Well, no, I don't. Like I always have the intention of creating some sort of new business.
Right. I thought it was funding your Greece trip.
No. Surprisingly, yeah. No one really – like I think that there's maybe an over-representation of like the conversation around selling Instagram handles and shit like that. Like I know one friend who had Aloha on Twitter and all that sort of thing, and she sold it for a surfboard. She's a surf photographer and she sold it for like a surfboard.
That's pretty good. I know someone who had Bataki Ham.
Really?
And apparently they inboxed him. Bataki here.
Hey, it's
G'day, mate. It's John Bataki. Oh, whatever. We want your handle.
Our handle.
We'll give you five legs of honey roast ham for it or something. I don't know. I think they offered him cash. Yeah. But I think he wanted it. It could have been some lunatic lying to him.
Maybe. But then again, people do get handles for, you know, purposes of then seeing someone sort of coming up.
True.
Have you got your domain, reesemitchell.com?
No. Who has a website in this era? Jesus.
Oh, that's straight out of Hollywood. Right. That's what
Tommy's like after spending the last couple of weeks building his website. He's not happy.
But who the heck? Who looks at websites? You type things into a search bar. That's insane. No one's going to. I'll type in TommyJacket.com. I don't think anyone's doing that.
No,
so maybe
don't
my
go
mom.
To .com, Reese, but you're doing it for search engine optimization so that when we type in our name, it's not the first result isn't two other blokes kissing each other.
Right.
It's us kissing each other.
Okay, I see.
It's
I like
relevant
that.
To us.
I like that that's the first thing that comes up when you Google me. How come no one else has the Daily Talk Show?
Great
That's
question.
What I was wondering. Speaking of optimization, surely that's the most used talk show name ever.
Did it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got text messages. Tommy and I were trying to work out a name for the podcast, and I was just searching on domain names, found the dailytalkshow.com, straight away got the Instagram. It's too long of a name for Twitter, so we don't have
right.
Like, you can't get the Twitter handle. But yeah, I think that even though like I'm not banking on Tommy and my talent or interest at all for this show. I'm just banking on the fact that the Daily Talk Show as a name will be good for SEO and that people might accidentally find us.
Wow, that's wonderful. I love that approach. I mean, banking on talent, banking on a title.
If you've said anything from Hollywood, talent is overrated. Talent is nice.
Talent is a bonus.
So we are basically doing the opposite strategy to you.
Right.
You're focusing on being a great actor and we're focusing on the things.
You're focusing on the other details.
The other details.
That's good.
Have you noticed and have you seen anyone that has worked for them? They've got jobs because they've got a shitload of followers.
Shit, yeah.
And have you met them in LA and are they aware of it?
Oh, God, no, I'd avoid those people. Yeah, like Instagram famous people.
Yeah.
No way. I wouldn't – look, if I met them, I'd be friendly, but I'm not like – I haven't really met those. I think I haven't met them. But I hear
what
about that stuff a lot.
Shtick, Reese, like what do you think? Do you think that does everyone in acting – is typecasting – a real thing? Do you embrace it? Do you push back on it?
I sort of go for leading man hunk roles, you know,
Ryan
Gosling type, Chris Hemsworth, obviously. Yeah, I definitely typecasting. I mean, they look at you and they go, you're this. Like, it would be absurd if you put me in like a Hemsworth role, I think, you know, to be honest. I'm more likely to be his like assistant who keeps dropping stuff or something.
AKA bitch.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, it'd be like he's like a caddy or something. If he were a golfer in a movie, for example.
Yeah.
Really strange example. You get typecast, but typecasting isn't necessarily a problem because it might mean you keep getting work.
Have you thought...
It's a niche.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, have you thought, you know, because you go, okay, the young up-and-coming actors that are that sort of... You'd look at them and go, they're so Hollywood.
Yeah.
Are the ones landing, you know, Brenton Thwaites, an Aussie actor
okay.
who's around our age. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just the traditional Hollywood look, and he's been in some huge films.
Yes.
And you go, okay, he landed some roles when he was young, and it, you know, it was definitely his looks contributed to him landing those roles. But then I think about like people who chip away for years and then they land a role later in age, mm-hmm. where they've done all the groundwork and then this reaping the rewards,
right.
of their training and time chipping away at it.
Yeah.
Is that something you think about? Where are you going?
I think so. I mean, I just like hope that the right kind of roles will come along, and like I've been lucky enough that I feel like they have for me so far, and hopefully it will continue to happen. But I don't know. I don't really like, I'm not looking to be like a leading man hunk. I don't think,
no.
I don't think that's really, you know, I think it's good to know sort of what your skills are and like what you can play. I don't want to be completely deluded. Yeah, exactly. Also, I look up to people like Steve Buscemi and like Michael Caine and, you know, William H. Macy and Willem Dafoe and like weirdos.
Yeah, I only know Michael Caine out of all of that. Josh,
you don't know Steve Buscemi?
Zero out of four. Caine on Location, Location, Location. Did he do that show?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He was what's his name? Alfred in Batman.
Yeah.
You know, in the great new Batmans. You've probably seen Batman.
You definitely would have seen him or know of him somehow.
Yeah.
You know Batman?
I do know Batman.
Everyone knows Batman.
What's the deal with accents? Do you have to, like, are you doing training to learn how to do an
American
accent?
Yeah, my next role that I'm doing, I have to, yes. Because most auditions, my managers will be like, just pretend to be American today. Just go in, don't let them know you're Aussie. And some days I'll be like, it's okay if you let them know you're Aussie. You know, I just ask them, like, am I Australian today or American or whatever? Because sometimes I'll be like, oh, should we try it in my natural accent? Like the last film I just did, I auditioned American and then they found out I was Australian. They're like, actually, we want an international cast.
But he wouldn't break. They had to just really get it out of him. They were tickling him.
No way. No, this is me.
Reese, we've got your passport. It says you're an Australian.
Yeah. It's an error.
Is there any phrases that are really hard to do in an American accent that you just try and avoid?
I find it all kind of hard. I have to do a lot of warming up. And like, I don't think doing accents is that easy, really. And people who think they're really good at them generally aren't. I think working a skill.
Ryan Seacrest impersonation. It's the only thing I can do in an American accent.
I'd like to hear it. Do you want to do it right now?
Look, that people have heard it a few times on the podcast, but it's only one line that he says. It's very LA. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's Ryan Seacrest here.
Is that it?
That's it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm familiar enough with Ryan Seacrest.
I think if the thing about accents are hard when you're actually trying
to... I love that we just quickly moved on.
You actually try and do them where you're not sort of over-dramatizing them.
Right.
Like, you know, impersonating an American.
It's Ryan Seacrest here, like that.
Wow. It's amazing.
You know, Sheriff Longmire, my mate from Longmire, the show on Netflix.
Okay.
He lives right near me, Reese. He's an Aussie actor, Robert Taylor. He was in The Matrix, film Josh hasn't seen.
Bullshit.
I know.
I haven't seen it.
Can you please watch that?
Do you know what is a really good film? Phone Booth. Did you ever watch Phone Booth?
What? No. That one from like 1992 or something where he hangs up the phone and gets sniped.
2004. It's the one where the guy's in a phone booth and he's got someone on the phone. He's stuck. He can't move. It's a really good film.
Anyway. Is it?
But Robert Taylor, he lives over in America and he did the 6 seasons of Longmire, he's an American dude.
Yeah.
And when I bumped into him, he was speaking in an American accent. So the first time I met him, I couldn't quite get it if he was Australian or an American.
Why was he doing that?
Because we went for a beer and he said, oh, yeah, I hold my accent as long as I can. Sometimes when I get back here, I just keep it going.
So he doesn't drop it on set?
Well, he doesn't drop it. When he gets to America, he says, like, when I fly in, American. The whole time.
I get that. Because you use different muscles in your mouth.
That's what he said. He's like, my face gets lazy.
Yeah, it does happen.
Yeah.
The Australian accent is like quite a lazy one. We use a lot less muscles. It's completely different placement in the mouth when you speak. So I can actually understand that. Paddy Bramall does that. He stays in accent.
Who's Paddy Bramall?
You know, Aussie actor. He's doing a bit over there, quite a bit. He did that show, No Activity. He's a good friend of mine. He's doing the American version. He's doing a lot. He's really talented. Anyway, he was telling me when he's doing American accent, he'll stay in it like all day, you know, like before and after he shoots and stuff.
Yeah.
And he says that like all his, like the producers and stuff, because he's a one of the creatives of the show he's doing. He gets in the car and he's in accent like, oh, really? Like they just want to have a chat. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm an American now. Like he's just in character, in accent and like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Just like,
has things like okay. Netflix changed how all of this stuff works in Hollywood? Is there an actual impact?
Yes. I mean, also for Australian productions, like
yeah.
My friend Alison Bell has a show called The Letdown, which was made here for ABC and now it's playing on Netflix and she's getting a lot of attention over there. You look at like Hannah Gatsby's amazing special, Nanette, that's getting a lot of attention over there because of Netflix, and then like Sisters, that Channel 10 show with Maria Angelico. Does a lot, yeah. And then, yeah, there's quite a few Aussie shows that are playing on Netflix, and then it can get people attention abroad.
Yeah, well, I think the crazy thing is, Josh, Reese grew up in a house where this was all happening. Probably you were surrounded by conversations about television because your dad, one of my favorite name drops is, you know, Con the Frura. Yeah, I'm best mates with his son. That's my someone, definitely my
someone
favorite.
I actually like. I know. I feel like maybe like, which says something.
Yeah. Well.
My dad is Mark Mitchell. He's not Con the Frura.
Yes.
oh, really? He's no. Always, don't know. No, you. Do know Con well, though, great bloke.
Don't believe it. He's in character most of the time.
He stays in accent.
Yeah, he stays as Con.
tell Josh about when you met Don the Frura. Wait, oh, should we talk about that? Because you know he boxes at my gym.
No,
you would not believe it.
So. Josh, I was on the street team working for this. Fox FM and we were doing an activation out in, I think it was Clayton or something. It was at a launch of a new Woolworths. This is when they sort of revamped and they
Sorry, I'll stop you there. An activation. What the fuck is an activation? It sounds like some religious cult thing.
An activation. You're
activating people's is, consciousness.
Where a brand pays the radio station to send out a bunch of young people driving a car with famous faces on the side, but famous faces don't arrive.
Right.
Never arrive. And so we hand out icy cold cans of Coke.
That is insane that there's a name
it's
for that.
It's sad, yeah. Isn't it? It's an sad activation. For the word activation. I wonder if activation you knew that the word was going to be used in such a way.
Totally. I think activation, the word would be upset with that. Nobody's handing out Coca-Colas.
Yeah, you activate there you go, something mate, we activated in the an space. Aircraft. You activate something on a big rocket ship, a spaceship. You don't activate icy cold cans of Coke. It's a bit sad.
That's all right. Insane.
So I'm at Clayton Woolworths and I'm walking through. You know, I actually went in because on these activations there was also a guy who cooked the barbecue. He came out specifically to do the sausage sizzle. And what I would do, this is when I was weight training hard, I'd go in and purchase a steak from Woolworths and then give it to the chef, dude who would come out and he would cook me a...
He'd activate it.
He'd activate my steak. Anyway, sorry. He's also the guy in Reese's showreel. So anyway, I went in to get my steak and I saw this dude from afar and I was like, fuck, it's my mate. It's Mark Mitchell. It's Con the Frura. He's here. He's been assigned to this activation. And so I started walking
assigned
closer.
Assigned to the activation.
It honestly sounds career. Like a cult. It's
yeah, like but it's also like,
issue, yeah?
How did you think that he was assigned to this activation? Like you're there he was, the steak.
Oh, you're activating too, mate.
he was there working, spruiking and in character, in the character of Con, full get up, same attire, same hair. And as I got closer, I realized that is not Mark Mitchell. That is some dude who is taking off the character that Mark Mitchell does. So what did I do? I played it real cool and got a photo with him so I could send it to Reese. I was like, you'd never fucking believe. There's a dude ripping off your dad. There's a dude ripping off Con the Frura. And I sent it to you.
Yeah. You said when you were posing with him, you go, oh, this is great. I'll show it to Mark. He's a friend of mine. I'm best mates with his son. And the guy just went, uh-oh. And then apparently, I think my dad's manager or something emailed him like cease and desist or something. I think there was nothing that could be done. It was totally fine or whatever. But it was funny because that turns out, bizarre world, he boxes at my gym. And he's like, oh, yeah, I think your dad was a bit upset because I played Don LaFleur.
Was that an activation? Do you know what
Yeah, I was at an activation with this local Shep Liberty Tommy Jacket.
Activations, things get a bit weird. You do stuff you don't normally do.
You kind of lose yourself in an activation. Yeah, so it was just like, this is such a small and bizarre world. And I just was like, I hadn't heard about it. But on the inside, I was like, oh my God, Tommy, this is insane.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, I sparred some rounds with him and
beat the shit out of him.
No, I'm just kidding.
Is there a difference in acting? Like, can you give us a sense with acting? Is there a difference between that sort of character, comedy style acting and other forms of acting? Like, are there different sort of levels where it's like you don't play in different realms?
I think so. I mean, like, I think ultimately it depends on the script, the director and everything. Like, but you're kind of trying to do the same thing. You're trying to just be truthful, you know, ultimately. And it doesn't matter what, if the world needs comedy or whatever drama, whatever the script needs.
Yeah,
I think as long as you just try and be truthful, it'll be a good performance ultimately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel trying not to be caught acting?
You know?
Do you feel that whatever role you're playing, does it affect your emotional state day to day?
I would say so. Like if I do really, I did a quite emotional scene on this last film and then I felt like I whipped something up for the rest of the day. I felt a little fragile, which was interesting. I think that, I mean, if you're having like a physical reaction because you're pretending to be really sad and you have to cry in a scene or whatever, you can potentially trigger something in you that makes you continue to feel sad or like you've channeled some part of you. So I think so. I think like, I don't know. I think you got to find that balance though, because maybe it could be dangerous if you're constantly going deep into this. I mean, it's not therapy, it's acting.
Yeah.
So
do you think there's a consistency in the types of people that are actors?
Wankers?
I wasn't going to say it.
No, I don't know. I think it's a real array. Sometimes I get a surprise when I meet someone and they find out they're an actor. I'm like, but you're not a wanker.
Yeah.
Like, what? You know, no, that's really, I don't know. I think it's really mixed. Why people get into it, so many different things that attract someone to it. Yeah, it's a total array, like any industry. It's just a job at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it attracts lots of people.
Yeah, I guess people take jobs more seriously than others, and that's when the wankers come out. And
so what is the crowd that you hang out with in LA? Are you hanging out with a lot of actors, or what types of things are people doing?
Your housemate's an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor. Yeah, he's an actor. Most of them were actors, actually. Coming to think of it, I was like, but no, a lot of people are in the industry there, so it's kind of hard to avoid. Like, a lot of my friends are actually artists or musicians. I hang out with a lot of musicians and producers, and yeah, I like to try and mix it up. I like to mix my worlds. I think it's good for your spirituality and your mental health to mix your worlds and make you a more kind of.
There was one year Reese was hanging out with only tradies.
It was
got
exclusively, exclusively tradies. No, you know, but that's a good thing to do. Mix your worlds, you know. Shouldn't just hang out with actors. Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mixing of the world stuff, are you doing stuff beyond acting? Are you doing writing? Do you sort of do any directing stuff?
I'm not doing so. I mean, I studied screenwriting and I went to film school. I never studied to be an actor. I just sort of ended up, I was acting in student films and then it kind of kicked off a bit more than my directing did, I think, because, I don't know, it just happened that way. Life kind of forges its own course a bit. I'm still writing though. I'm working on something at the moment with my friend Paul and his fiance Lucia. We're writing a sitcom sort of thing. So yeah, I'm still writing, definitely. Yeah. I love that. I'm really passionate about that. And I think it's a really good way to create opportunities for yourself as well. You know, you can cast yourself in something. So there you go.
And collaboration, I mean, working with other artists, working with other people in general can be hard. Working with artists, I guess, can even be harder because everyone's got their quirks.
I mean, how do you approach collaboration?
I guess you got to really, you do have to really feel that out, whether it's going to be a good collaboration or not. Like, you, just because you get on with someone and you have a really similar sense of humor doesn't necessarily mean you'll write well together or you'll work well together. So I think feeling that out, maybe like writing some smaller things and just seeing how it feels and then go from there. And I think it's like totally fine if it doesn't feel like a natural fit to end the project early and maintain the friendship, because it can really affect a friendship because it's very personal collaborating with people creatively, you know?
What does it actually look like writing something with someone? Are you literally sitting there next to each other?
Yeah, it's kind of like this.
Talking about it?
It's kind of like this. We just kind of chat, have a laugh, and then we're like, oh, that's funny, let's write that down. Well, that's how we do it. That's how Paul and I do it at the moment. That's how we're doing it. We just kind of talk about ideas, or when we go out and something happens and it inspires an idea and then we write it down. Yeah, I don't know. I think everyone's approach is different. Some people might, you might like plot out a story and then we might script it separately or script it together. So everyone has a different approach, but my approach is generally just to talk, write down what we've spoken about, maybe even just like run a scene, like improvise a scene and then write it and then come back to it and edit it, you know? So yeah, I there's no rules to any of it.
Yeah,
whatever works.
It's, I think that we could do so a funny. Short
we've,
film on
we both play in a space of,
based on our conversation.
Yeah, he's got some great material.
The activation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's kind of sci-fi, I think. In my head, it's sci-fi. Or maybe even like a dystopian world.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think so. Just there's something, there's a lot of darkness more, about the activation.
I get the vibe that it could even be, I think it's got more of that comedy trop fest. All of a sudden it turns out there was something in the stake at the end of the activation.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like what happens is actually Don the fruiterer doesn't realize that the steak was for Tommy and he eats the steak.
Don.
Yes.
Fucking Don.
I think we should end this collaboration. I don't know that the activation is going to work. I'm out. Yeah, but I'll leave you guys to it. I don't think it's a natural. I don't think it's a natural sort of, you know, creative partnership. I'm out. I'm definitely out of the activation.
You've been watching Shark Tank.
I have, yeah. It's a no from me. It's a no. I love Shark Tank.
It's a great show.
I always think about Shark Tank ideas. It's big in the US.
Is it?
Yeah, Shark Tank's a real good unwinding show. You know, after a long day of, I don't know, doing nothing.
What, see someone who's put
American their- thing to say though, that it's an unwinding, like it's good to unwind because it's still around this career-based.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Like, I just want to be able to... I want to be able to sit down and watch. The next big one is going to be job interview. Sit down and watch people have their job interviews.
That's actually a great idea for a show. Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, he's back not going to get it. You know what I mean? I'm back in. Yeah. I'm back in, boys.
Job interview for the activation.
Job interview. That's really good. So you just you sit down and all these people do their job interviews. Yeah. And then you're like, I think it's number three.
Yeah.
You know, what's your 5-year plan? And he's like, oh, you know, I'll be in your chair. A solid idea. And the guy's like, I like that. Whatever. Yeah, you know, that could be a really cool show.
All shows, is there something about American, like for me, watching an American show has more clout before I even know if it's got clout than an Aussie show, which maybe is just us being brought up with Hollywood being thrown
it's
in
our
face.
It's being brought up with cultural cringe and like self-hate.
Yeah, that too. But and so
I love that. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that too. Because I hate myself.
I tried to get a green card. In 2011, I tried to get a green card because I wanted Amazon Prime. Like that's where my vibe's at.
You wanted Amazon Prime. There's other ways.
So he gave up citizenship of within Australia to.
I tried the lottery, didn't get it. So I'm just I just decided to wait. And now Amazon Prime is in Australia, so I didn't have to move after all.
Wow, isn't that beautiful?
I can get deodorant.
I love that.
Now
you know what? That's a lesson in patience. You know, that's a Zen story. I think they're going to write koans about that.
What just, are some of those? Know, have you had some of those observations where it's like consumerism gone wrong? I feel like on the spectrum of getting a green card for Amazon and not, you're probably closer to the not. What?
The thing that I find the weirdest about America is getting paid in checks.
They still pay checks?
Yeah. Yes. You got to go cash a check.
Wow.
Like, what era is this? Like, you're so ahead in so many ways, and then you're still getting checks? Like, if I don't get my check in the mail, I'm like, I don't get my payment.
What
I'm like, can you resend my check? I couldn't find it.
Trump's focusing on the wall, and they're still paying people in checks.
They're also shocked Bonkers. By PayPass. I remember being at a Subway and paying PayPass, and they lost them. They had the technology there. I just touched my credit card to pay something, and like, all three people working there came around and sort of like thought I was some fucking like
everyone beta in the Subway started clapping. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's odd. There's some weird things like that there. They just won't let the checks go. I find it so weird. I'm like, just also they don't really have like online banking isn't the same as it is here. Like I can't just transfer you money easily. You got to download a separate app.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I know.
That's annoying.
Anywho. That's not a big deal. That's just a little detail.
It's crazy because PayPal came out of America and so did Stripe.
Well, because all of these things are like trying to solve a problem, right? There's been cards that you can get with a magnetic strip on it that you can switch between what card you're using. So you have a single card, but they're still using the strip. You still need to like swipe the card. So it's interesting to see how innovation changes when there just isn't mass adoption of something. It's the same with Apple Pay. When they announced Apple Pay, it was like the Americans were like really excited about it. But the thing is, like, we've been paying that way in Australia with like our cards for a really long time.
Do they do minimums on card in America? Like, I know I went there in 2012, but you know how it's the gripe here in Australia. Oh, this bullshit. You got to. It's a minimum of $10.
Oh, no, not really. Actually, yeah, they would. I can't really remember.
Yeah.
Sorry, I went all over the place.
It doesn't faze you enough.
I don't know.
We're fighting different battles here. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get
my
Amazon Prime. Tommy doesn't want to pay his minimum and you're just trying to forge a career in Hollywood.
You're going
to
give up Australian citizenship for Amazon Prime. That is commitment.
To be clear, I wasn't
getting
giving
socks
up.
Or whatever.
I wanted to be a dual citizen. I wanted best of both worlds. I wanted to be able to get my Amazon Prime and then hang in Melbourne.
The logistics of that, you would have had to lodge a tax return every single year in the States.
It's gotten worse.
You know what's huge in the States that isn't as big here?
What?
Fraud. Yeah. I feel like people steal your credit cards more, your identity. Like I got my credit card details swiped.
Did you?
Yeah. And they were buying weird things.
Like what?
Just like going to like crappy hotel rooms. It's like, live it up. If you're going to if you're going to steal my details, go somewhere nicer.
Wow. Yeah.
Don't do it in the Super 8.
Totally. It was like a really cheap room. I'm like, you poor things. Even with someone else's cash, you got no taste.
One of the things that I do, like, there's a lot of things I like about the US. One of the things that I struggle with, I've even struggled with traveling, is I think it's a part of it is my social anxiety, but around tipping. The US is actually a little bit easier because you at least know where you stand. But places in Europe, it's all over the place. Some places expect it. Some people don't. I don't carry much cash. What, have you had any tipping stories?
Well, you're in Greece right now. You can probably like...
No tipping in Greece.
No tipping?
Unless you're at a restaurant, fine dining restaurant, but not like, not just basic services.
Yeah, not
services.
Basic stuff, but definitely, it's not as clear cut. Like there's a lot of places where it's like, and you Google it and clearly somewhat like basically you Google any place and I think they overstate the tipping culture. Like I think if you type in tipping Melbourne, they'll talk about tipping like it's still a little bit of a thing where like I've never fucking, I get pissed off when I spend a fuck ton of money at a, like why is it that the expensive restaurants that are charged, like where the bill's like fucking $300, they want to tip. But the place that's got a fucking souvlaki that's the mum and pop operation that's charging like $5 doesn't ask for anything.
I guess because of the people going to these different shops. You know, if you go to the fancy one, generally you have more
you've got spendable, more money.
You know, you can spend more money. You got more. You got more cash in your pocket. Not always, but I hear what you're saying. There's a good point.
Have you had any incidences?
I just 20%. I just tip everyone 20%. And if the service is really bad, 10%. Still tip them. That's the funny thing. It's like the 10% tip is an insult. It's like, I'm going to tip you 10%, but I'm not happy. I'm still going to give you some cash though. I find that really funny.
Yeah.
Just do 10%. It was terrible service.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're
so I just, I do 20 and then up. Like 20% is the minimum, I find. And people like, I don't know. I have a tip calculator.
Do you?
Yeah, because I want to, a lot of people live off it. They don't get paid very well when they work in service. And I worked in service for like 10 years. I get it. I want to tip them if I can.
I went to a nightclub in LA. And I was on this table of this rich guy, and I was there with this American dude who's a promoter, and I was sitting next to this rich guy, and shots just kept on coming out. And this guy was, his surname was Washington. So he was a part of the Washington family, like big
mate,
time.
They're on the money, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well,
they own a whole state.
So wow.
Who was a part of that family, the famous family. Anyway, he had heaps of money. That night I ended up with his sunglasses, a pair of Dolce & Gabbana $500 pair on my head, and I went home.
That's the old Tommy coming out.
But
you probably robbed him.
The guy came so we were getting shots delivered to the table nonstop, and this dude was nearly about to vomit, this rich dude, and the barman, and he was like yelling at the barman. And I nudged the barman. I said, I got this. And I said, mate, he's all good. Just tip him and he'll be fine. He's like, buff. And he was like getting a bit angry. He pulled out this wad of cash, took $100 and gave it to the barman. And I tapped him on the back and said, fuck yeah, we got it.
Oh my God.
Did you ask for 50%?
No, I didn't take it. I was just thinking of the barman.
That's a wonderful thing to do. You probably paid his rent.
Yeah, at that point I had the Dolce & Gabbana sunglasses on my head, so
Jesus,
I was cool.
Jesus, you and that guy did well. Are you still in touch? Do you still email?
No.
Oh, you remember that $100 and the glasses? Yeah. How are you? I'm all right.
Where do you eat when you're in LA? Where do I eat? There very soon. What should we be?
I'll send you a list. I'll send you a list. Okay, I'll tell you my favorite place.
Where?
All right, this is a hot tip for the listeners. If you go to LA, go to Sunset Boulevard, Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Really nice restaurant. It's like it's Israeli. It's called MZHZ.
MZHZ.
Maza is how they pronounce it.
Maza.
And it is sensational and really cheap. Just good quality, simple, healthy, yummy food. Yeah. That's wonderful. Anything kind of in Silver Lake's pretty good.
Yeah.
Reco Park. I'll give you a list. Depends
I was
how
on
fancy
Sunset
you
Boulevard
go.
And asked the hotel for we just wanted something light, and I can't remember the name, but we'd just arrived in the States and we went to this place that the hotel recommended. I don't know if you know it, don't know if it's famous, but it was like pancakes that were like this fuck off massive like pancakes that were so big. They were like the size of probably like bigger than an A4 piece of paper. And this was meant to be like our light meal. Have you heard of this
place?
Oh, my
God.
It traumatized me.
I think it's called IHOP.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't IHOP. It wasn't a franchise. It wasn't sort of one of those sort of big names. I can't remember what it was. But it was on Sunset Boulevard. It's massive, right?
It's huge. Yeah, yeah.
Josh, I got a list of places for us to go from my mate. And
I'll look over it.
Yeah, I'll show you the list.
I'll check it. I'll give you guys some spots.
What's day to day then? What are you doing? Like, do you have a strict sort of schedule on what you do?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I'm working the arts, darling. No, I just like, far out. I'm going to embarrass myself when I like list what I do. Everyone's like, you're out there working so hard. I'm like, yep. I go to the gym. I go to auditions. I do some writing. I'll then have a drink. Not always, but you know, then I'll like go get dinner with someone. I don't know. You just like live your life.
Good.
It's just like Melbourne, you know? It's just like you just chip away at it. But the thing is, you're always thinking about work when you're there.
Mm.
Yeah. You're always like, there's always like maybe an opportunity around the corner or something. Or maybe you get that big audition tomorrow.
Yeah.
Things just pop up and you meet great people a lot.
You've got a life that allows the opportunities, or it allows you to seize the opportunities when they pop up. So you can't be off
right.
working in the mines, just, you know, in Texas. Mm. Not sure if there's mines there.
There could be.
Maybe. But you've got to be available. To
right.
Be like,
yeah, you have to be on call, basically. Yeah, that happens a lot. You got to be on call. Like, we need this tape immediately, or you got to go here tomorrow. Like, you got to learn 6 pages in 3 hours.
Yeah, wow.
You know, it does happen. So you are kind of always on call, which is a little bit stressful. You feel in limbo a little. But that's my cross to bear. That's what I signed up for. And when it's good, it's really good. So yeah. I don't mind.
Do you feel like you're the most happy?
When I get the call saying, you got a job. Like, legitimately. I'm like, thank God.
Do you find that it's like a... Because I find that through, you know, a video project, there's sort of these high moments, like first getting the job, and then it goes a bit shit for a bit, and then it's like great, and then it's shit, and then it's great at the end. Do you have those key milestones of sort of self-loathing and then also excitement?
Absolutely. You know, you're often questioning what the heck you're doing, and then when you get a job, it feels amazing, and then you're like, oh God, I got to do a lot of work now. And then you start to have imposter syndrome. You're like, they're going to find out I'm terrible and I'm not really an actor.
Yeah.
And then you do it and you're like, oh, it was great.
Next minute you're in a hot tub.
Yeah, next minute you're in a hot tub on a balcony.
Snapchatting Tommy Jacket.
I know. Yeah, that's one of the highs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's
like, what from if you were to bring one thing from LA, what you've learned, and apply it to yourself living in Melbourne, you know, just taking that perspective and then coming back, what would it be?
I think it would be like, I really believe in supporting one another. And I know that sounds so bizarre coming from like learning that in LA. Like, I've always believed in like collaboration, community, supporting fellow artists or people in general. But in LA, it really, like, at least my group of friends there, they are so in each other's corner. Like, there's no like, you know, like kind of hiding their treasures or their connections or their opportunities. Yeah. There's none of that. It's like everyone shares and believes in the power of collaboration and community. And I think, like, I wish there was more of that here in Australia. I wish there was less of the sort of, I know our market isn't as big, but I really think like tall poppy syndrome and all that stuff is really detrimental to our cultural growth. I think it's so much better for us to believe in one another and also believe in local talent and like local projects and support one another completely. Mm. 'Cause this is like, we produce such talent. Mm. This country produces incredible talent. And I think we really need to foster it and look out for one another. I don't know. I just like, I love the support that I'm feeling. Like, even the, like I was saying before, like the Australians in LA, I feel so supported by them in a way that I haven't. I mean, I felt support here, but over there it's like a whole different thing. It's like, you know, we're really like, we're in this together and like we can do it together. And I
what
like
about
that.
Like setting your sights on something bigger? Josh and I talk a bit about it where we're like, oh, we could, you know, create this and try and get it here. But one thing from speaking to Robert Taylor from the sheriff on Longmire, he said to me, mate, you just got to think big. Forget about Australia. Go bigger than that. And his point was just think bigger than that. And I feel like I've even been restricted to, you know, what Josh and I can do with this podcast, what we can do with our business. Do you think that's an approach that it's like there is outside of Australia?
Oh God,
as much as we are in it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like, it's scary too though, like we were saying, to leave and to be like the comforts of this place. But I really think if you want to play on like the world platform or at least have a go, yeah, I mean, if you do whatever you can.
You're going to be expected to get paid in checks. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. If you're okay to get paid in checks, you should think about traveling. But I think it's like, start here. Just be really good at what you do from wherever you are. People will notice. It's like what I was saying about Netflix before. People are making shows here and they're playing on Netflix and they're getting a lot of opportunities abroad. If you're good enough, or like if you work hard enough, it'll pay off and it can pay off internationally too. But I think it's a good thing to do if you work in like entertainment or whatever. Give it a go. Go out, go to the home of like, or like a hub of entertainment right now, and that's LA right now. It's really in its moment for the arts. I think give it, see like a huge industry. It's interesting.
Mm.
You know? Even just
what's
just
the end challenge game yourself. For you, Reese? Like, do you think about end games and goals?
Yeah, my end game is
like
to
that?
Buy a house here. I just want to work enough so I can live here. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Like, after everything I just said, it's like, I want to be able to work enough so I can comfortably live here, because this really is my home and I love Australia so much. And I really do believe in our community and our industry here, and I want to be a supporter of it in any way I can. I mean, it's like allowed me to be able to travel. If I hadn't have done what I'd done here, I couldn't work abroad. Mm. No way. I wouldn't have a visa. I wouldn't have representation. I would like to come back here as well. It's so fresh here. The air is so fresh. It's like,
yeah, it is a great country.
It's beautiful.
I'm on the other side. I'm looking forward to getting out and not leaving
I think we travel to be able to get perspective of our own home, right? Like, I think definitely. That's the biggest thing for me with being away for 3 months is it's like I know that like travel for me is temporary, but the day to day is life. That's the real thing. And so I think that what I gain from abroad is what I bring home and what actually happens at home, and like the things that I start to appreciate in regards to the rituals that I have or how I approach certain things. I think that's super important.
We just kind of lost you there, Josh, so I reckon we wrap this up.
It is also because I got to move my car.
Yeah, true. I was thinking about that.
That was like the car park show because I had 1 hour on the car. Thank you for keeping an eye on that. I'll get you around here. It's actually,
thanks
it's been
so
wonderful.
Thanks so much, mate. Like, especially given you're only in Melbourne for a short time, coming and hanging, and when you are back in town, we just like having fucking friends of the show, and also like even friend, like real friend, like the fact that you guys are actually like each other in real life. That's also.
I know, isn't that wild?
It's
awesome. I know, we've done the long haul, Tommy and I.
Yeah.
This friendship is not ending. If it hasn't ended yet, it's never going to. We've been through everything together. Yeah. Jesus.
Awesome. And people can obviously see your, I'm guessing, pretty inactive Instagram feed by the way that you talk about it. Drip coffee.
Yeah, if I confirm their requests. No, of course. Follow me if you're friendly and you're up for a good kooky time. Yeah.
You have to say access code is the Daily Talk Show.
Yeah, that's the promo code for my Instagram. Yeah.
We actually get a little bit of commission off every one of Reese's new followers. That's the only
every
way
time
that
you
we
like
income.
One of my posts.
Exactly.
The Deadly Talk
we
Show
get a
gets
check
a
in the mail, funnily enough.
Yeah, you get a check for 55 cents. Yeah.
It may get lost though. It may not arrive.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Reese. It's the Daily Talk Show. One more episode until we are heading to New York City and we've got a bunch of guests lined up. So we're very pumped about that. We'll catch you tomorrow. See ya.
See you guys.
Bye.